Speaker is Izzy L. from San Diego.
They spelled my name wrong. Izzy alcoholic. So I like to take things from my sponsor, and when she came up here, she said she was about to vomit, and I also feel like I'm about to vomit. So I grew up in a really good family. I grew up with my parents being together. We grew up in I lived in a little town in Madison, Wisconsin, and we lived above a church, and we would go down every day, and they'd like do their little preach things. And my mom would be back up and be like, "All right, one day you're gonna go to church like this. When we're gonna do this as a family." And I was like, "All right, cool," and I automatically hated it. The only thing I liked was when I went to Sunday school, I got free stuffed animals. And I had a collection of free stuffed animals. I had a lot of them. No need to brag, but I had a lot of them. When I was about five, we moved to Coronado, right over the bridge. And that was, it was hard for me. When I was growing up in school, I was always really difficult in school. I didn't want to follow the rules. I didn't feel like I belonged with anybody. I didn't really have a lot of friends. I met this one girl, and she was super, super weird. And I really liked her because I was also super, super weird, so I fit in with her, and she was the only person that I fit in with. And growing up, that's all I really thought about, was just the fact that I was different, and I didn't feel like I belonged, and I didn't get the point of why I was here. I didn't want to be here necessarily. I didn't understand why I was here. And about the third grade is when I started questioning my existence, and I started really hating everybody and everything at every moment of time. I hated everybody. I was like eight. In the fifth grade, I had this one teacher, and I hated him, like with an undying passion. I hated him. I remember one day he gave me homework. I mean, he's a teacher, so he gives me homework, but I was just super, super opposed to the fact he gave me homework this day. So naturally, the only way I was going to cope with this is I was going to try to give him food poisoning. So I made him cupcakes, and I left them out on the counter for a couple of days behind all the cereal, because nobody in my family ate cereal, so no one knew they were there. This was super planned out. And I gave them to him on a Friday so that he'd have a terrible weekend and then maybe not be at school on Monday, so I would have extra time to do my homework over the weekend. Anyways, I was just malicious. When I went into the sixth grade, we did this thing called drugstore. We would go into this room, and they'd like stage a whole scenario where like this kid got arrested for stealing meth. And he was like 11. Like, he was an 11-year-old stealing meth in front of like a room full of cops, right? Super, super original. So I believed it. I believed it. And I was like, wow, that kid's so cool. I want to be just like that kid. He just got arrested in front of all of our peers. Oh, my God, what a rebel. And I already thought I was better than him. And I didn't do the same. But we started to learn about drugs and the different effects on drugs that day. And we were learning about hallucinogens and, like, all these other things that they were teaching us. And there were these cops, right? And I hated myself. So this was a so much easier way to be somebody else than I was. This was a so much easier way. I was learning about all these different things that could make me a different person every time I used them. If I wanted, I had so many options. I was like, this just seems so easy. Like, why doesn't everybody do this? Everybody did do it. I was just out of the loop. And I went on a search a couple weeks after that, and I went on a search, and I found cough medicine. I'm sick. I found cough medicine, and I chugged as much of it as I possibly could, right, because it's not a drug, and I was coping with myself without doing drugs, and that was my way of coping with myself, without being like all the other junkies I was hearing about, and like these stories that cops were teaching me. And I thought I was so different, and I thought that I deserve this. I'm allowed to do all of this because I am way worse than you, but at the same time, I am so much better than all of you. And that was my life for about 2 more years. I didn't have any friends. I didn't want any friends. And when I did want friends, it was because I wanted to drug you and steal your things. That's also something that happened. freshman year of high school was the first time I went to a party, and I... 5 minutes, what the hell? All right, I blacked out for a second. Hold on. I went to a party, and I overdosed for the first time, and I drowned in my vomit, and that was the point where I said, alcohol is the problem because drugs don't make you vomit. And my volleyball team found me in an alley, and they told my coach, and my coach's dad was 15 years sober at the time, and he was sponsoring me through her. So we would sit down in front of our school gym, and we would talk about why I was doing these things and how I could solve all of my problems by believing in God. And I hated God. I used to go around church telling everyone I was Jewish, and it was a Christian church, just because I hated God. I hated the idea of God, and so I didn't want to do it. I was sober for a couple of days and went back out, and things kept getting worse. I didn't know what I was doing with my life anymore. I didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't understand the purpose of living. I was alone. I was alone, and I was stuck in a point of being alone, and I didn't know how to get out of it. So drugs and alcohol was my way to get out of that and just be completely in myself without being in myself. My junior year of high school, I got kicked out of school, and then a month later, I went on a little bit of a binge, and the same day, Halloween, my dad found me dead in a parking lot, and I asked him if I could get some help, and that was the first time I ever asked for some help and meant it. I heard from my freshman year until now that I was an alcoholic and an addict, and I didn't know how to stop using when I wanted to. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm an alcoholic. That's why I'm drinking. And I use that as a badge of honor. And I didn't want help until now. I looked my dad in the eye, and I asked him if I was, I don't know what happened, if this was going to be forever. And he didn't know what to say. He just kind of looked at me and didn't say anything. He just, I don't know. And the next day, I went to an outpatient rehab to go get checked in for my first day, because apparently things move that fast for me. Don't be careful what you wish for, because I didn't actually want to go to rehab when I was sober. But I got there, and I didn't think that it was enough for me. I thought that I was worse than everybody, and I was like, all right, this isn't enough for me. And I searched for AA, and I searched for AA out of my own will, out of spite. Because I thought I was so much worse than everybody. And my dad really hated the fact that I was going to AA, so I loved the fact I was going to AA. So when I got here, I related with this really old guy. He was a meth junkie, and he was probably like 70. And I was so confused, because I was like this 16-year-old girl sitting in a room of like old people, and I was relating with everything that they were saying, because they weren't even talking about drugs. They were just talking about the fact that they wanted to kill themselves. And I related with that. And I went for a couple of months, and I didn't do any of the work. And when I relapsed, I didn't think that I was worthy of AA. I didn't think that I was worthy of the work, because I wasn't willing enough yet. And I was so ashamed for relapsing, and I thought that I was so weak. But I wasn't doing any of the work. And I came back, and I did. I started doing the work. And things started to get better in my life. I got to learn where I was selfish and self-centered, and I got to learn where I hurt all the people I did. I got to make amends to that fifth grade teacher I tried to poison. I got to make my life good again after putting myself through everything that I put myself through, because all of that I did to myself. Nobody else was involved. I learned where my resentments were very invalid, and that was all of them. Because I'm super petty, apparently. Who knew? Thanks. I love you. And I get to do this now. I get to do AA, and I get to be here and be a part of a fellowship I never thought I was going to be a part of. And I get to live my life the way that I want to live my life now, because I'm free of my alcoholism. I have a daily reprieve based on my spiritual maintenance. Now, what the fuck does that mean? I still don't know, but I do it anyways. But it's in the big book, so it works. And it does. It does. It works. Oh, my God. Anyways, I get to live my life the way I want now, and I have so much freedom. I get to do whatever the fuck I want when I want, and I get to do it however I want. After, you know, it's usually not my first thought, but I'll usually go with my second thought or my eighth thought, because the first one's definitely not right. But I get to graduate high school in a month and a half. I get to have a relationship with my dad again. I get to do all these things I never thought I was going to do. I'm going to go to college. Like, that's pretty freaking rad. It's just super radical. And the things in this book are true, and I think that was a really long minute, wasn't it? Yeah. All right. Thanks for letting me share.